Thank you. This is an interesting time of the year, that time when we find us between holidays. Now, we recently celebrated Thanksgiving. We came together as a church family, sharing food, fellowship, and gratitude. And at that time, some of us were still eating candy left over from Halloween. We now find us looking at the Christmas season, considering all that is involved in that celebration. And while this does happen each and every year, it sort of catches us by surprise. We have barely finished eating that turkey left over from Thanksgiving dinner. And now we are being asked to look at Christmas. When we view our holidays from the standpoint of food and preparation, they all just seem to run together. And in our busyness, we soon forget the reason that we are doing any of it at all. And this is unfortunate, because you see, each has a deeper meaning, one that goes beyond the outer display of preparation and festivities. Now, actually, this is true of many other things that we do in life. For instance, we notice that when we gather together with family and friends to celebrate a birthday, we come together to commemorate the fact that someone is 1 year older. Now, when it comes to the concept of time, we eventually contemplate eternity. And when we do this, we even question the need to observe the passage of time at all. I mean, what is the significance of a single event in the reality of time without end? If there's no end to us, is it even possible to be 1 year older? Now, as human beings, we do set milestones, and when we reach them, we consider it a cause of celebration. Setting goals is our way of determining how well it is that we think we are doing. It is actually a standard of measurement. We measure us according to the number of candles on our cake, counting the number of anniversaries, or all that time that we spent at a particular job. Now, we do this considering it a progression of some kind. We give value to what we consider important, and we want to celebrate it with our loved ones. We may totally understand there is such a thing as eternal life, but at this point in time, we celebrate what belongs to the concept of time. It is true that we should stay to the occasion and get the most out of it that it has to offer. So again, let us look at that birthday celebration. Now, on one hand, I think we can agree that it does commemorate the passage of time, but I think it goes further than that. We come into this world, we find us abiding in the household of a certain family, living in a particular neighborhood. Now, as we travel through life, we meet many people. Some we call neighbors, some we call friends, co-workers, or acquaintances. But you notice that not everyone gets invited to the birthday party. When we gather together to commemorate certain events, we choose those who are special to us in some way. Our invitation is a way of telling them that we value them and that we are very grateful that they have come into our lives. I consider this the deeper meaning for the celebration. They are of the heart. They go beyond the outer display of cake, candles, and ice cream. The fellowship that we share with others is really of an inner nature, an experience that goes way beyond concept and time. Now, I think that we can all agree that it is not easy to maintain relationships. Although there are similarities, there are also differences. And sometimes the differences get in the way. But when something has value and meaning to us, we find a way. For instance, some married couples establish what they call a date night. That night when they spend together just by themselves, doing something together, sharing on a level that goes beyond what is required by that daily routine. Parents provide outings for their children, trips to the park or to the zoo, all with the intent of spending time together just as a family. The desire is to have family activities that go beyond performing the responsibilities necessary to maintain the household. Now, if we want to cultivate friendships, we must set aside time to spend with our friends. Now, while all of this may seem logical and reasonable, it does require a certain amount of preparation. That Thanksgiving dinner, the one that we had at church, it didn't just appear on the table all by itself. It required preparation. Individuals came to the church ahead of time to set up the tables in the fellowship hall and in the classroom. Sign-up sheets were provided in the library, asking us to indicate if we would be attending and what dish we would bring. The day of the event, the Board of Trustees arrived early to accept and arrange the food. And then there was the necessity of cleaning up after ourselves. All of this preparation required dedication and commitment. But it was done so that we could come together as a church family to share food, fellowship, and gratitude. Now, I believe that anything that we wish to acquire or achieve in a meaningful way does require some act of preparation on our part. When we choose our occupation or our line of work, we don't usually just jump right in without some degree of education, practice, or apprenticeship. You say that you want to invite your family and friends to your house for that Christmas dinner. And yes, you do understand the need for preparation. So you may begin by looking at all of those pictures in the cookbooks, visualizing how those dishes would look on your dining room table. But unless you know what you are doing in the kitchen, unless you have some idea how to prepare that meal, nothing much will happen. If you don't have this knowledge, your friends and family would be better served if you made reservations at a restaurant. Now, when we look back over our lives, we will notice that the degree of our success, our accomplishments, achievements, they depended on some act of preparation on our part. When we reflect on those things that didn't quite work out, many times, if we are honest, we will admit that our heart really wasn't in it. And if there is no desire, there will be no commitment. And if there is no commitment, there is no preparation. And without preparation, nothing happens. Now, I began today's lesson talking about the holidays, reminding you that we are now looking at Christmas. Now, from Christmases past, we know all about the preparation, the buying of gifts, sending Christmas cards to family and friends, decorating the house with wreaths and garland, the trees with light and ornaments. And then there is that decision about what to serve for the family dinner. But remember, these are but the outer preparation of festivity. It is now time to go beyond the busyness and discover the deeper meaning for the celebration so that we may prepare for it. We direct our thoughts and our attention to the religious significance of the event. We take the Bible down from the shelf, and once again we read that Christmas story. We consider the baby Jesus, born to Mary and Joseph in that little town of Bethlehem. We contemplate the message of the angels, the appearance of the shepherds, and the arrival of those wise men. Now, divine science tells us that the baby Jesus was endowed with knowledge of truth, and it was his mission to tell others of truth, the truth that we are of God, a spiritual being, and our nature is divine. Now, the identity of this true self is Christ. The angel, the messenger from God, would be the appropriate one to announce this birth. Shepherds, they are humble, receptive individuals, eager to receive the message and to see this child for themselves. They wanted to experience the birth for themselves. Wise men acknowledged the arrival of the Messiah, and they journeyed from afar to pay homage to the Anointed One. Now, divine science tells us that the true birth is the spiritual one. Jesus told us that our true name is Christ. And when we awaken to this idea, it is then said that Christ is born in us. Our Christmas morning occurs each and every time that we turn within and pay homage to that one of God. Just like those humble shepherds, their receptive hearts are eager to receive this child for themselves. Now the question for us is, how do we prepare us to be the one of the receptive heart, eager to receive the holy birth? How do we arrive at that point where we get beyond the lights and the tinsel of outer display in order to receive the deeper meaning of the celebration? Just what is required of us? You know, intuitively we feel there must be some act of preparation on our part, but exactly what is it? Well, we begin our preparation right where we are with what we have at hand. Let us look at where we are in consciousness. Now, the deeper significance of the Christmas commemoration, it is a religious one. So we must consider exactly what makes up our religious beliefs. That individual who wanted to prepare Christmas dinner had to first have a concept of the art of cooking before he could begin his work. It was through his practice of the art of cooking that it became a personal experience. Having the experience, it was now his, and he no longer needed those cookbooks to tell him what to do. And so it is with us. At the beginning of our time of preparation, truth has not yet been our experience. So we begin with our concepts about it, what it might be. What theories do we hold about God, about Christ, and about eternal life? Now remember, concepts are thoughts, and thoughts change according to information and experience. So our first act of preparation may be to get rid of all the concepts and the ideas that we entertain about God. Because you see, we do understand that we must go beyond what it is we think we know about God and allow God to be an experience. Having the experience, it's now ours, and we will have those signs following. We will have the fruit of our practice and of our preparation. But this is a long way off. In the meantime, there's work to be done. You see, up until this point, we may have talked about God. We may have read what others had to say about Him. We may have even taken a few classes or attended church now and then. And in the process, we did develop our religious beliefs. Now, we may not have a graven image of God sitting in our living room, one made of gold or wood or some other material. But we do carry an image of God with us in our head. It might be that of an old man with a beard. Or maybe the picture of what we think is a loving father would look like. Perhaps our idea of God is a judge sitting on his throne, declaring us worthy or not. These are the concepts we entertain as our religious beliefs. Oh yes, there is work to be done. However, our practice should not be to try to change one concept, theory, or idea for another. Concepts are thoughts, and they must be released and done away with. The humble, receptive heart is void of thought and concept. To have truth as our personal experience requires an absence of thought. True spiritual preparation is done in meditation. So when we first begin, the words of others may serve as guidance and as inspiration. But the only direction the receptive heart recognizes is that one of inner being. Our practice is to learn to listen in an inward way. Now, over the years, we may have acquired a library of religious books. Although we are now relying on inner being for guidance, I do not think it's necessary for us to go home and toss out all of those metaphysical books and spiritual journals. When I first came to this church, I bought a lot of books. I really did. And then over the years, I donated a lot of books to the church book sales. What I mean is this. As we grow in understanding, we got a little more selective about what we read and what we entertain in our consciousness. The books we now read should inspire us to turn within for personal revelation. Now, it is true that when two or more are gathered together to study truth, they can inspire and uplift one another, leading to deeper insight and perception. The Tuesday evening prayer and study group reads and discusses a book. Now, it is true that we could all sit in our favorite chair in the comfort of our home and read that book all by ourselves, gaining a degree of understanding. But when it is shared with others, something happens. Each brings a certain viewpoint, one that might not really have been considered by others. Each person adds to the discussion, bringing clarity and insight. And then in our quiet time, we take what we have discussed, taking it to the self of inner being. We ponder it, asking for interpretation. Now, today's verse of the week speaks to us of that voice crying in the wilderness. Now the wilderness is symbolic of those multitude of undisciplined and uncultivated thoughts. It is from this place of misguided thought and uncertain conclusion that we cry out for deeper knowledge and understanding. The instruction given is this: prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now a desert. It is a place in man's consciousness that seemingly lacks substance and life. But remember, we are talking about truth. And in truth, those desert places, well, they do not actually exist. Because you see, from the viewpoint of spirit, there is no lack. Where God is, there are his inexhaustible resources. God is everywhere present. When we read and discuss truth, we are preparing the way of the Lord. The activity of inner being that stirs us in recognition of that divine idea planted in us. Now remember, attaining spiritual understanding, well, it does require an act of preparation on our part. However, this is not one of stress and strain, requiring physical help or mental thought. The only thing we really are asked to do is to give no thought, sit in the silence and allow God to reveal himself. And we will receive him according to the degree that we prepare the way. It can be no other way. Some churches refer to this time of year as the period of Advent. To apply the act of preparation to this designation means that we are preparing the way of the Lord, preparing for the advent of the birth of Christ in our consciousness. So let this be our practice. The birth of recognition occurs each and every time we become still and turn within. Not just one day in the month of December, but each and every day of the year. This morning we have the opportunity to prepare the way of the Lord. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we pause and we give recognition to the indwelling presence. It never leaves us. Come unto me, I will give you rest. In the solitude of this moment, there are no distractions. We are alone with God, with our Father, which art in heaven. We praise and we adore his holy name. We are of God. He gave us his name. It is our birthright to claim it. In this moment, we claim the spiritual fruit, the ones of love, joy, harmony, peace, and yes, life itself. They come from that place of inner being, going before us, blessing all who are willing to receive them. Christ, the spiritual self, comforts those who sit in darkness, revealing the inner light that never grows dim. This morning, let us choose to turn within and prepare for the holy birth, that time when we know without a doubt that God is, and there is none else. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.